Here we are.
No, this seems to be how we start the show every week. It's just, here we are, like that.
Yeah, back again, ready for action.
Yes, I am ready for action. What do you mean? Like Die Hard action or
no, like tag team back again. Whoop, there it is. Yeah.
Oh, British Bulldogs. That tag team?
No.
Davey Boy Smith
and the Dynamite Kid.
Davey Boy Smith and the Dynamite Kid. Ready for action.
Yeah.
Which one am I?
You're definitely Davey Boy.
All right, I'll take it.
I'm smaller in Dynamite, and I'm a high flyer.
Yeah. High flyer.
Yeah.
Hello and welcome to episode 495 of the Two Hosers Photo Show. My name is Alan in Tübingen, Germany. With me, as always, is
the Dynamite Kid, Adam.
Dynamite Adam.
Yeah.
Nothing kid about you.
No, don't kid about the Dynamite Kid, but my name
is
Adam.
Oh, I wonder if that's what it was. Was he like a Catskills comedian? Was that a wrestler? He'd always make jokes about dynamite.
Right.
Yeah.
Dynamite.
If brains were dynamite, you couldn't blow your nose. Hello, drive safe. I'll be here all week.
Yeah. It's the kind of comedian I like to see.
That's right. Take my wife. Please. Yeah. Classic Borscht Belt.
Okay.
All right. And we're off.
Yeah.
Amazon. If you want to get real comedy stuff, buy it on Amazon. Click through our site. Help us out.
Okay.
They have comedy. You know where they have comedy? Do you want to know where they have comedy? I'd love to know where the comedy is. Amazon now.
Okay.
Spotify's doing quite well with they're not a sponsor, but I was listening to a couple of my favorite comedians on they have their full albums on the Spotify.
Okay.
Check it out. I happen to miss the comedy album.
Okay, so give us some suggestions. I too have a Spotify subscription, so I can access this.
You're gonna want immediately, like probably just leave the show early and go listen.
Okay, I'm listening right now.
Nate Bargatze.
Okay, Nate.
Love that guy. Have you not heard of him?
Never heard of him.
Oh, I love it. I love it when I discover a comedian that's pretty much already broke and become mostly famous.
I've heard of Nathan Bargatze. Same guy?
Nathan Bargatze?
Yeah, not the same guy?
No.
Okay.
I don't know.
This is who? Say again.
Nate Bargatze.
Okay. Nathan Bargatze.
Maybe. I'm assuming it's his full name.
Same guy? No, yeah. I'm just screwing with you.
Oh, okay. Maybe he goes by that. I don't know. Okay. Or whatever. So it's him. I like him a lot. And then I like Mark Normand. He's also very funny.
Also don't know.
Yeah, so there you go. You got a lot of listening to do. I think you're going to be happy.
Okay.
Yeah. So there's that. All right. Well, what's going on in Vancouver, Adam?
I can't remember what week it is or what's different.
Right?
Just moving on, one week at a time. That's what
I'm
doing.
We had the longest day of the year the other day, and I was like, oh yeah, well, I guess it's still light out. Like, that's all that changed. It's still light at this arbitrary time that it doesn't make a difference.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. It is, time is, like, you remember, I don't know, maybe you don't remember. Like, there was a time in your life when you did not have kids.
True.
No, I'm asking you. I don't even, like, I know that there was a time in my life, and my kids aren't even that old. My daughter's 9. And so 9 years ago, I didn't have kids, but I don't really remember what that's like.
Yeah, I'm having a hard time as well. I'm having a hard time of remembering, you know, even the pre-COVID days, the, you know, going back 4 or 6 months ago. I don't remember. Like I'm, it's just all I'm doing is kind of trying to figure out what I have to do today and this week. That's how I'm working.
Right. That sounds about right.
Maybe that's just going, how I am. Yeah.
I was going somewhere with the kids thing. Oh no. But before you had kids, this whole episode was to be
deep
dive.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like, you know what? Let's just bring Christopher Nolan in, explain time to us. Come on, buddy.
Sure.
How does it work? If the top is spinning, then, what's his name's, son? Who's Denzel Washington? If the top is spinning, then his son is in the movie. I'm not sure.
What about we bring in Jean-Claude Van Damme to explain?
I think he's available.
Yeah.
You know what's funny? That ties into a note I was going to actually make a little bit later. I'll tell you what, I'll bring in the JCVD a little bit later.
Okay.
When we get to the shoot, anything interesting. Because there's a weird tie in there.
Okay.
One that you're not going to see coming.
Okay, can't wait.
Yeah, although now a whole bunch of stuff is becoming clear to me, actually. My point being is with time, like when you're a kid, time, like everything took forever, you know, like summer vacation was 2 months and it may as well have been 2 years. Like it felt so long. Like on July 1st, you're like, oh my God, like I'll forget all my friends from school. Like I will never see them again. Okay. And then, you know, I remember, but now you're like right now, if I said, hey, what are you doing for Christmas? Like you probably already have plans. So it's not, and that's 6 months away. So time just become, as you get older, time, you know, shifts. And, but then when you have kids, cause I, a friend of mine just had his first kid. And I said, my advice was get ready for time to stand still and race by at the same time.
Okay.
Is that accurate to your experience? Yeah.
Yes, I will say absolutely. It's just kind of a weird, yes. When I look now, I sort of see like, holy crap, where did 13 years go? Cause that's how old my daughter is. But at the same time, I feel like, you know, life didn't exist before the last 3 months.
Right. That's a whole nother wrinkle. But when it was with the kids, I was like, when am I going to be done changing diapers?
Yes.
And now true. I'm like, holy cow, you're 9? Did you really just make duck a l'orange for dinner? Okay, it was cereal, but I don't, you know, you say potato, I say potato.
Yeah, duck flavored
Cheerios. Yeah, duck flavored Cheerios. Terrible. Hey, General Mills, what you thinking?
Right.
But I don't even know if that's who makes Cheerios. I'll be honest with you. It seems like it was General Mills.
Yeah, I'm gonna double down.
Who cares?
On that.
What do we? Who cares? All right. Anyway, like yourself, time is I'm messed up by time right now myself with this whole shutdown, COVID. Not even shutdown anymore because things are opening here. Anyway, like I just got back from our first T-ball practice in like 3 months, I guess. Four months. I don't know. You're not writing my biography. It's three and a half months.
Not keeping notes on this either.
So just got back from T-ball, and it's weird because I was definitely the oldest guy there. I was like, oh, wow, you guys are all 6. I'm just crushing, you know? And no, but it was nice. It was outside. It was like 33 degrees today for some reason, and all the parents were there. I bought the kids ice cream because it was the first day back, so I made sure I show up with a cooler full of ice cream to bribe them to keep coming back.
Sure.
And so it was a good time. So It was kind of like this, like you know, I don't know if how many listeners we have in the States, because obviously it's not over there right now, apparently. I don't know. But it seems like it's over here. I don't know. What's it like in Vancouver?
They're phasing things in. So now they just announced that, you know, we're going into phase 3, which is essentially allows for the summer non-essential travel within our province. So within the province of BC, hotels, you know, resorts, things of that nature are all going to be open, camping, so that people can travel within BC. But that's still just contained within our province because the situation here is very good.
So are you going to the lake this year?
I'm not sure if if I will, the family will for sure. We'll sort of figure out whether I can get up there with new work schedule and whatnot. But they're going to do a little bit of camping with some friends. And then there'll be a trip to, well, there'll be a trip to Vernon at some point. There'll be a trip to Vancouver Island at some point. And then to Osoyoos. So kind of our, all, again, all our local BC spots.
Right. So your hot move is you send the family up and then you just kite in on a float plane for the weekend.
I'm probably not going near a plane, but I will travel to meet them via car.
Not a float plane? Why not?
I don't know. It seems like more trouble than it's worth.
Have you ever been in a float plane?
Several times, yeah.
Okay, so what's that's not trouble. It's awesome.
It's okay. I would prefer.
Where did you fly?
I've flown to Nanaimo. I've flown to Victoria a few times.
15 minutes from Richmond to Nanaimo is pretty cool.
It is, but by the time you have to get there early and all of the sort of rigmarole, it's a 2-hour ordeal.
What?
It is. It just, you have to be there way before the plane takes off. And then, you know, the whole setup and take off and leave. And to me,
Richmond to Nanaimo is like 15 minutes, right?
I think it's closer to half an hour.
Because I know Victoria, like down to Richmond to Victoria is half hour.
Okay, I believe Nanaimo is a half an hour as well. The last time,
all right.
I
did it. Yeah. Either way,
so but either awesome. Way, and you still got. I got to be there early, and I'm kind of, you know, a little bit paranoid that way. And so yeah, to me, it saves a little bit of time, but not nearly as much as you would think.
Okay. Just for the listeners, I disagree. Now, in all fairness. I have a friend who she used to work for Harbor Air and used to just give me passes all the time. Back in the day, I could just fly for 100% free. And that's good. Yeah. It was what do you call it? Standby.
Right.
So if it was full, you're out of luck, but it was rarely full. So I could just roll up like 3 minutes before and pop on the next available flight. So sometimes I'd get lucky and just literally show up 3 minutes before and then be in the air. So that part is awesome.
And again, not to sort of burst your bubble, but I also don't love flying in those little planes. Like these are like, I don't know how many passengers, 15, something like that.
The big ones are, yeah. I think the twin engine otters, I think, are probably about 15. Then the little beavers are 8, maybe.
Yes. And I don't love the experience, to be honest. So really? I do know it saves time. I don't like it. Yeah. I don't what like part it of at it? All. I don't know, the feeling like you're going to die part.
You're 500 feet off the deck.
I know. And there's no kind of like, my whole thought is most of the pilots are young, but I keep thinking there's no co-pilot. There's no autopilot. This isn't
I usually fly up front. So that's me.
Yeah. I've flown up front being the co-pilot. And I just keep thinking, I wonder if something happens to the pilot, like what happens here? Like no one else knows how to fly the plane. There's no backup system here. I've also been
never flown one on like a video game? It's the same thing. You can just grab the yoke, buddy.
Yeah. One flight, I think the last time I flew was a couple of years ago, did the flight to Nanaimo, and we actually had a fair amount of turbulence, even flying at whatever it was, 800 feet. And
did you throw up?
It freaked me out. Yeah, those planes bob around pretty good if you get some turbulence. And yeah, it wasn't a super fun experience. So
yeah, but if you do an emergency water landing, you have pontoons already, so it's not like you're good.
Oh yeah, a plane flies itself.
Well, no, not that part. But okay. Now the one thing that I do make sure of on those flights. Especially on those ones, is like on like the 15 passenger ones, sometimes you can get jammed sort of into the middle of the seat, like a bench.
Okay.
I do not do that. I try to fly up front, or I always, always, always make sure I sit by the door.
Okay. Because, so you jump out, yeah?
No, not jump out, but like, so if and when we go down, it's funny that you mention this because I actually have a note later on to talk about plane crashes. That's funny. It's funny Great. You bring this up.
Yeah.
Yeah. Great. I'm not even joking you. So, in those planes, my whole thing is if we ditch, I am 1,000% confident I will not lose my cool when we go underwater and I can get the door open and swim out. And I will then, but I will help people get out. I'm okay with that. Like, I'm not just going to leave everybody. I will get everybody out, probably, most people. But if I'm stuck in the middle and someone by the door is freaking out, I don't want to be the guy stuck in there if they're freaking out.
Right.
Okay, I might have said too much.
Okay.
All right.
Yeah, Scott Weird.
Woo! All right. So in Germany, no float planes here, I'll tell you that. What do we do this week? Oh, kids were off school this week because they went back to school last week, but there's only half the kids, and then half the kids weren't on last week, and then this week our kids were, it was their turn to stay home.
Yeah.
So once, this is what I was going to talk about, I think I mentioned probably off the air, is that once you close down, once you open up, you can't close down again. It's right, not possible. Yeah. So that's what I noticed with my kids. And the microcosm was my kids was they went back to school last week, albeit for 2 hours a day, which by the time I walk them to school and then pick them up and all that stuff, it's like I spend more time doing that than they do in school.
Right.
So I get nothing done. But the point is they were in school, and then this week they were not. And that sucked. It was so bad. With the staying home and the doing the work, they're trying to do their work and crying, and I don't know. I was the one crying, not them, by the way.
Right. I figured,
So I'm done with that. They're back to school on Monday for full time, so.
And it's still this one week back and forth.
No. It's over. But I told you, we're done here. We're back.
Okay, so everybody's back at school next week.
Everybody's back. I think all they do is, if I understand, they are staggering the arrival times by 15 minutes per grade.
But then they're all there at the same time. They'll all leave.
Yeah,
at
in the classrooms and in the hallways, you have to wear a mask, I think. And that's about it.
Gotcha. Okay.
Yeah. So that's the deal here. I mean, outside of that massive, I'm guessing you haven't been reading the German news, but so there's a massive outbreak at a meatpacking plant. Couple hours from here, but they locked down really quickly and jumped on it, but other than that, seems to be under control here as best we can tell.
Okay, good.
So yeah, anyway, so they're glad to I do feel for like in America right now where I some places are probably gonna have to lock down again. That's tough.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
that's sure a tough. Not, once you've been let
not
alarm,
ideal. Man. Yeah.
No, because it reminded me of you remember D-Day, right?
Mm-hmm.
So the deal was when they were sending all the Allied forces to land on the beach in Normandy. Apparently, what they tried to do is in the first wave, they basically tried to stack it with as many FNGs, brand new guys. As possible.
Okay.
Because they didn't want, they knew that if guys had some experience, they knew what they would be facing and mm-hmm. wouldn't really be into it because it was not a good situation.
Right.
That frontal attack from, you know, 4 to 5, all the position and all that stuff. And so they wanted guys who were kind of dumb and didn't know yet. And so they would march into that. So point being is if you don't know what you're facing or what you're missing, it's a lot easier to lock down. But gotcha. Now that it's been let out, I think it's going to be very, very difficult. It's a tough situation. Okay. I don't have a solution. So I don't know why we're going down this path.
No, I don't either.
Woodwork update. We'll talk about later. Actually, I finished the end tables sort of.
Okay.
We'll talk about that later. I have some pictures.
I'm looking at the picture of the two end tables side by side. So that's not okay. Finished.
Okay. Like I said, we'll talk about it. It's the topic of this week's show.
Oh, okay. I gotcha.
Tangentially. So, what else? Oh, great weather here, by the way.
It's terrific.
By point being, is spending evenings out in the porch, having dinner outside and you know, going out and having beers on the porch and playing with the kids in the front lawn. It's the best. It's been great for that.
Excellent. No, I agree.
I love that. I love the outside stuff in the evening when it stays out dark or stays light until it's dark. Till it's like 10. It's fantastic. All right. That one gained traction.
I don't know what to say there. Yes.
No, I hate it. You're supposed to come in the other.
Yeah. Oh, it's the worst.
The other side.
It's worst.
No. Get up at 5 a.m. in bed by 6 p.m. Terrible.
Yeah. No, the kids are out and trying to, you know, meet up with friends and go for bike rides and throw the ball around and all of that stuff. So, yeah, I agree. Weather's
good. Are the kids getting back to somewhat normal or new normal or something good?
New normal. Like, again, they're pretty good about, you know, the socially distancing, but they are, you know, meeting their friends at the park or going for bike rides with friends. So, yeah, it's good. It's just, it's all a little different. You know, my son has a couple of friends, or he'll go over to their house, but they'll stay outside. They'll play in the backyard. Mm-hmm. They'll ride to the park. So not really like no sleepovers, not going into other people's houses, things like that. Not
right.
Yet. Yeah.
When they go to the park, they bring their own beer bongs. They don't share.
That's right. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's just smart. It's just, come on. Not their first time. All right. And then lastly, I made my daughter's birthday book for her 9th birthday this year.
Okay.
I made her book last week and got it and all that stuff. I noticed it's getting easier and easier to do.
That's good.
Well, first of all, fewer photos. So like my for those who don't remember or don't listen or haven't listened, my normal protocol is it's actually 102 photos is what I do exactly. One for the cover, one for the back cover, and 100 photos in the book.
Okay.
And that's what I've done every single year, or for every year anyways. I kind of backdated a few of them. But it used to be it was like, all right, well, I got to narrow 800 photos down to 100. And now it's much fewer. It's like 150 photos, 180 photos down to 100. So it goes a lot quicker that way.
Agreed.
Do you take 100 photos of your daughter in a year?
Probably not.
Okay.
Not 100 different photos. I probably have 100 photos, but they're probably 10 different photos, and I took 10 versions.
Right. No, I do have 100 separate ones, but yeah.
Yeah, that's going to stop. You're going to have to drop it to 50 because it's just, you're not going to keep that pace.
Oh, eventually, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So, reminder, monthly challenge for June. We'll talk about that next week, by the way. Our monthly challenge is Snapshot. Hashtag that. Two Hosers Monthly Challenge, hashtag Hey Hosers on the Instagram. Even better, do both of those things and tag us at Two Hosers, and we'll be sure to see it. And Adam will make you want to sell your camera.
Mm-hmm. That's what I do.
Mm-hmm. Did you shoot anything interesting this week?
I finally did. I sort of been talking, teasing the fact that I had a job to do this past week, a grade 7 grad. I got hired to do photos for my daughter's school. So the idea was, a lot of the kids haven't come back to school because it was optional here in BC. So the deal was, everybody, they kind of have a midweek cleaning day where no kids are in the school. So they have kids in the school Mondays and Tuesdays. And I think this is pretty much consistent across Richmond. I don't know if it's the same in other districts, but anyways, the Wednesday is the gap day where there's no kids at the school. So I talked to the principal of the school, and she asked if I would be willing to come in and do photos, and they would, you know, bring in some of the teachers for the kids that were graduating, and they'll sort of, you know, bring them in and through the school. We'd take a photo of the kids, you know, one at a time in the library, and then they exit out the back door of the library, and there's sort of like a little reception, which was, you know, some parents standing out there, the grad teachers standing out there, and they kind of whooped it up. And it was a way to kind of give the kids a bit of closure to the end of the year. So, So my job was to kind of set up and give them each a little photo shoot. And so I included the photo of Sarah, or one of the photos. I ended up putting them each in I made like a frame and kind of placed them in, and it said, you know, the farewell 2020, the school name, and I sort of placed each kid's photo in a frame. So I'm showing you without the frame. I just kind of showed like the image I took, and just in the library, kind of books as a backdrop. I took some test shots, and I just thought it looked, because the bookshelves are relatively low in the library. And so I thought it looked pretty, like there's just sort of dead space. And unless I was going to get the kids to kneel, I thought I'm going to have to fill in a little bit of the kind of weird kind of gray walls that sit above. And so they had, the teachers had gotten some
Luft balloons.
Yeah, the teachers had gotten a bunch of balloons, and then I thought, okay, well, can we put some of them in the background? It sort of says celebration, it says graduation, in an otherwise just kind of weird scenario of standing in the library. Mm-hmm. So we did that, and you can see I basically lit it with the softbox. So I had the big giant softbox, the one that I could hook up the studio strobe to, and then I had...
How many of the parents? Like, you shot for all the kids, right?
Yeah, so there's, I think there was 35-ish, something like that.
Okay.
But every
single... So how many of the parents look at this and look at the catch lights and go, oh yeah, I'm softbox?
Yeah, I don't know. I just wanted nice, even light. And I wanted a scenario where I literally had 2.5 minutes per kid to basically sure. take them through. So I set this up so that it was going to be as kind of dummy proof as possible. Like, I put tape on the floor, like two lines, even the angle I wanted their feet to be, so that they stood on the tape lines, and then the softbox was positioned the same. I never adjusted it for any kid, even taller, short or whatever. And then I had a umbrella sort of in behind to even out all the light on the bookcase in the background. Otherwise, I thought, oh, I'm going to get some real shadows in the back. So it was, hey, stand here. And then they kind of had a little graduating certificate diploma. So I took a couple of shots with them holding up their little certificate diploma. And then I took a couple of shots without. And then they would go out the back door. And there was, like, you know, parents with horn, little, you know, those little kazoo blower horns and clapping. And so then the kids got quite a cool little rush when they opened the door. And there was all this cheering for them. So that's kind of how
One of those parents was my friend Dave.
Oh, there you go. Did you see his daughter's photo, right?
On his Instagram, he posted his daughter's photo on Instagram, or I saw one of your daughters with her, his daughter, and I was like, oh, that's Dave's kid.
There you go. Yeah.
Small world, eh?
So there, but I don't think you probably at that point didn't have the one that I had taken inside the school, the softbox photo. So super, super easy setup though, but giant softbox and then umbrella with a speed light in behind. I basically killed all the ambient light in the room. And then it was that way I could sort of shoot both of them on low power, have quick recycling time, not eat up a ton of flash battery power, never had to adjust, like, change the batteries in the flash. I want to say, like, something like 1/8 power, or might have even been a little lower on the flash, and really low power on the strobe. And that's it. Just kind of walk through. You get nice even light. I edited one photo and then copy and pasted those adjustments. I was basically pre-planned well enough that I shot like a couple of test shots with the gray card, so I could just basically color correct via the gray card. And yeah, pretty easy. 50 millimeter lens at about f4.5. We're in a tight space. I wanted the background to be just out of focus a little bit, as to draw attention to the foreground or to the subject. But I also wanted to allow enough wiggle room that if the kid didn't stand in the exact spot, that I wasn't going to have any out of focus eyes. That's why I didn't do the 85. I mean, also with the 85, I didn't have enough room in behind. Like, there was very hard to find a background corner that I can use where there was enough room, no chairs, no tables. Like, this was in a elementary school library. So this I couldn't get back far enough to use the 85 millimeter either. So
yeah.
Went with the 50.
Nice. Looks good.
Simple.
Much better than the my grade 7 grad photo.
Yeah. And I feel like this is better than you would get if you had one of the companies come in and do the same thing in the same time. Like, I feel like they'd probably just drop a green screen, Photoshop something in the background, and it would just be a little weird. Like, this is their school library with some balloons. I like it.
Yeah, I can read Encyclopedia Brown in the background there.
Sure.
Choose Your Own Adventure. I see those books.
Yes.
Yeah, all classics. Gordon Corman's there. Good.
always
the classics.
Yeah. So there you go. There's
and the end. Did your daughter like it?
She liked it. The turnaround on this was also very quick. I shot these on, you know, Wednesday morning for, I think by the time we got through the whole thing, it was probably about 3 hours of shooting. I stayed on time. We had the kids arrive 15 minutes early to their slot. And as they arrived, again, it was one at a time through the school, completely stayed on time all the way through. So I think we finished on a couple of minutes early to the actual original slotted time slot. So I wasn't sure we'd have enough time, but the kids were very cooperative and, you know, pretty photogenic that it made it great. And then I edited the photos and put them in folders for the teachers and all turned around in one day. So I thought it was great.
Cool. I shot some evening photos. Again, it was when we went out one night for the photo challenge. I wanted to make sure I got my evening photos. I shot them early this week, by the way. Shot mine like last Monday, way early. The show was still brand new on the internet, and I already shot next week's. So I posted a couple extra, not my challenge photo, but a couple extra ones of my kids running around in wheat fields.
Okay.
Yeah. So
that they look good. I mean, I see the photos and they're fun. Looks like your kids.
I like
kids
how
are
you say it. Surprised? No, they look good. You're fine. Well,
maybe you're underselling it. Like usually, you're bragging about your awesomeness and.
My awesomeness brags for itself.
I'll tell you what, I like the wider shot of your kids running so that it's kind of looking sort of at them sideways. The one where they're running towards the camera, I don't know. It's okay. It's
I like the look on my son's face, but overall it's like, yeah, right. The background is, you know.
I don't know, for the crop of the photo, there might be a little too far apart. Like something about it is awkward to me.
Well, that's where the tracks run. Like there's actually, no, I wouldn't say tracks, but a slight indent, like where the tractor probably had driven a couple days prior. And so they had to run kind of side by side in those.
I was just concerned that they were socially distancing and it looks weird in this photo.
Oh, good point.
Yeah, the one that we're looking at it sort of as they're kind of running horizontally across the frame, I really like that one. And better background, like you say.
Right, that's much more wider shot, too. I guess the other one's kind of a wide shot, too, but not quite as much. But again, as we say about a million times, you know, shoot at a nice time of day like this with golden light. And
sure.
It's not easy to miss, but there's that. And then I shot a picture of my son. Oh, my son. He's so emotional. Because I told you this week was tough because they're back out of school, right?
Yeah.
And my daughter got invited to a friend's house, and they have a pool.
Okay, that's good.
Now it's a tiny, like one of those little tiny little round above ground pools.
Oh, I thought it was a turtle pool.
No. A little bit bigger than that.
I'm not a huge fan of the tiny above ground pool, so I tell your daughter I'm sorry that she had to endure that.
She loves it. I don't know why she loves it so much. Because like every time I walk past her, I pee in it. So you're gonna want to recycle that water once a week. But so she got invited. Well, so my daughter's friend is her age, and then she has a little brother who's my son's age, and I guess they used to be friends. I don't know if they still are. I don't think they still are anymore for some reason, whatever.
Okay. And
politics, kid politics. But point being, my son was kind of hoping to get invited that as well.
Yeah, and, he was, yeah.
Yeah, and all of a sudden it was like, no. So my daughter was going, and then it was like, yeah, he's got no time for you.
Okay.
So he was just devastated because he was ready to go in the pool, right?
Yeah.
And I was like, I pee in there. Like, don't go in. Joke's on them. Joke's on them, Sam. And so we broke out the sprinkler because it was crazy hot. It was like 30 plus degrees. So it was like we broke out the sprinkler, the old school sprinkler move, run through the sprinkler. And I said, like, you know, I want to get a photo of this. So as you do, as your parents did back in the 70s.
Right.
You get four speed lights out and you light the thing.
Of course you do.
Of course you do. You get four speed lights out, light it from all four corners. You make sure you backlight it because you got to backlight the water coming out of the sprinkler if you want it to look good.
Right.
And you want to shape them. I mean, the kid's been working out. You want to give them some definition, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
So you kind of backlight them from either side and then you get a couple lights in the front because you're battling that noonday sun. It's noon o'clock. The sun's right overhead. And so you want to get the X100 out and you underexpose by like stop at a third, stop in two thirds to really make that sky pop. Mm-hmm. And then you just power up. At that point, you still got to power up the flash though, because you got to keep it far enough back so they don't get wet from the sprinkler.
Right.
And then you hammer him and you get a really cool shot of him running and jumping through the sprinkler.
Yeah, and you sent me that photo, and I thought it looked really good. So
I sent you that, and so for the listeners, you're going to have to use your mind's eye to imagine that, because he's not wearing a shirt, and it turns out you can't post pictures of little boys on the internet with no shirts on.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, you can, but it's probably not the best idea.
Yeah. No, it's not, unless you want to get a bunch of phone calls from Chris D'Elia or something, and then you're like,
sure,
okay. Making it awkward.
Yeah.
That's a cheap shot. Cheap shot at Chris D'Elia. I think he likes young girls, not young boys. But yeah, that's what I heard.
Okay.
You have no idea what I'm talking about, do you?
No.
Okay. That was the JCVD tie-in, by the way. He does an excellent Jean-Claude Van Damme impersonation, and he's having a rough week because apparently nothing. I've not heard anything illegal, to be fair. I'm not casting aspersions on the guy. I'm not a lawyer. I don't think he did anything illegal, but doesn't look good right now. That's all. He's being dropped by everybody for some stuff. But point being, he does a great Jean-Claude Van Damme impersonation that is hilarious. So
okay. Well, he's always got that. He'll always have that.
He's got that. He'll have that wherever he lands.
Yeah.
You know, break that out behind the counter at Quiznos. So, and then lastly, we went to the lake a couple days this week and did not take photos. Because pretty crowded at the lake, actually.
Okay.
You know, in our little area, like there's a bunch of different areas around the lake. It's not like a big beach, it's a bunch of different little areas. And so in our place, in our area, there's like about 100 people, something like that. But because it's Europe, there's about 20 bathing suits. So you don't want to be the guy bringing the camera out.
Right.
Yeah. So there you go. A bunch of photos you're not going to see.
Awesome. I love hearing about photos I'm never going to see.
Photo challenge this week was evening light. Why? Because, well, it's, you know, nice weather. It's a great time of year for you guys. I mean, obviously school's out. We just talked about the grad photos. That's a good indication that school's out. And it's that time of year where you kind of had, like, your kids stay up. I'm assuming stay up later. They don't stay up late in the school year, do they?
My kids don't, Sarah stays up later, but I mean, they get up pretty early. So even though school officially ended earlier this week, I mean, they're still up at just after 7:00. So,
okay.
Yeah. So they're not huge sleeper inners unless they're going to stay up super late. We've been trying to get them to go to bed by 10-ish.
Okay. Well, that's the sun's down by then.
Yeah.
Point being is that magic hour, that stuff, that late evening stuff, especially now, like, you know, like for here, the days are getting really hot and then. And then in the evening, it's nice, it cools off, and it's fantastic. I love that. So that's why I said, let's shoot some evening light. So let's have a look at your photo.
Okay.
All right. Does your son know he's getting his picture taken?
Yeah, this was the best of his smiles in the batch. This was taken Father's Day. We didn't really talk about Father's Day last episode, but right after
I forgot about it because it's not a thing here, and I knew it was coming, and they don't really accept my family did not know it's Father's Day.
Okay, all right. So it was.
I meant to bring it up. I apologize.
It was Father's Day, and so you know this was taken on Father's Day. We had kind of, you know, gone, picked up some takeout, gone and sort of eaten sushi? Down by the water. No, it was actually not sushi. It was burgers. It was like we went for the kind of fancy burgers from a burger place in Richmond and then took it and McDonald's. Ate it down. No, it wasn't McDonald's, but ate down by the water. And then afterwards, because, you know, Father's Day, dad gets a little bit of extra say in, you know, what we do. And I said, oh, let's go mm-hmm. to the park and play some spike ball. So after dinner, this was probably, you know, 7-ish o'clock. We're down in the park playing spike ball. And then I thought, okay, Father's Day, let's get a shot. It's not, I mean, it could have been an hour and a half later, but we were done spike ball and it was time to head back to the house. We were all tired and a bit sweaty. So I said, oh, I'm going to take my photo right now because I want a Father's Day shot. And then I thought, well, hey, two birds, one stone, let's get an evening light mm-hmm. shot. So, you know, it looked, I decided just based on where the light was and where the background was more ideal that we were going to shoot backs to the sun and just kind of get an evening rim light sort of, you know, shot. And there you go. My wife took this shot. I set it up and then she took the shot. And yeah, I let you get some nice rim light and you get some evening tones. And you can see, like, you know, the sun coming through in patches in the background on the grass, like the sort of streaks of light. So pretty straightforward shot. A little bit blown out in some of the highlights, but that's just what you get. Yeah, that's what you get.
No, totally. That's just you guys standing in some open shade too, right?
Yeah.
Well done. No, it's great. Everything looks great. Again, I wish your son knew he was in the photo.
Yeah. Sort of
caught him by surprise.
Yeah, sort of a hey, weird sort of half-ish smile forced. Yeah, my daughter and I, beautiful smiles.
Oh yeah, $1 million smiles over there.
Yeah,
I was trying to think of some reference to who's known for their good smile. But it's you. So every time I see a good smile after this, I'm like, hey, it's Schwartz.
Yeah, there you go. I didn't care what my son looked like. I'm like, I'm looking like $1 million here.
Oh, it makes you look even better. That's the point.
Yeah.
I tend to try to get into photos with ugly people because all of a sudden I'm not the funny one anymore.
Right.
Hot move. Oh, okay. It looks great. Did your wife did your wife focus this back button focus that she did?
Yeah. She knows what she's doing.
Yeah, it's razor sharp, man.
Yeah.
Looks good.
And this is, I should have mentioned, this was taken on the Classic, on the 5D Classic, which I don't think I've used in probably 10 months, something ridiculous like that. It's been in my camera bag and I just haven't, between having the X100 and the 6D, I just really haven't had the scenario because no baseball so far this year at all. So I haven't been in the Dusty Diamonds and haven't been down at the beach and all the scenarios where I don't want to have either one of those other cameras. So I thought, I intentionally said, I'm going to take this camera and I'm going to, you know, I love what that camera does. And I just, for whatever reason, haven't used it in that length of time. So intentionally took it. Love it. If you're shooting in a scenario where there's lots of light, the images out of that camera are terrific. So there you go.
I'm not far off on that 10 months myself with mine, but I had that issue with mine where it was misbehaving or it wasn't working. No, it'd be 6 months. It was around Christmas time. It was misbehaving. And I just kind of haven't revisited it. Maybe I should fire it up again, see if it's still working. Because I like you, I love that.
Too many good cameras. That's the problem.
Well, let's talk about mine then. On that note. So here's my shot from that evening session with the 5D Mark III.
Okay.
And it's one of my daughter, the big one of her looking off into the sunset.
So the close-up.
Not the close-up. The close-up we'll talk about in a minute.
Okay. So the sort of three-quarter shot. Yeah, got you.
Yeah. All right.
Like it. Talk now. Looks good. Yeah.
I like it. Now, here's a few things. Normally, I would shoot. I like this photo. I'm all good with it for the moat for 90%. I don't want to just talk about the shortcomings, but that's what I'm here for. And normally, I would shoot this with my 70-200, but I'm just not happy with it since it dropped itself on the, on the metal floor.
Little Carly Rae Jepsen incident.
Yeah. Right? Yeah.
I feel like her insurance should cover it.
I called her, maybe, but thanks for stepping on that one, Schwartz. That was $1 million joke.
Yeah.
No. I really, 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 really did not like you at that point.
Okay.
That's the even better one. You want to go through all her songs?
Yeah. I don't know anymore, so I'll have to take your word for it.
I actually know a bunch now.
Yeah.
Boy Problems. You have, well, that one you know Boy Problems.
Right.
So, so normally, so I thought I'm just going to take my 85 mil like you did, 85 mil in the full frame. Went and shot around, loved it. Great light. We got there a little bit early. My family wasn't tremendously patient. Like I was trying to time it just right because we went for a little post dinner bike ride, and wanted to kind of catch that magic hour. But this is about 20 minutes before I'd like to have shot it.
Mm-hmm.
Still nice, still good light, but it's not that crazy kind of gloaming look that I was going for.
Right.
Anyway, so shot her in there. I like it very much, but this is where we say too many good cameras. Look close to the close-up. What do you see?
Her eye is a little bit out of focus.
It's a little soft, isn't it?
Yeah.
Now, I thought I solved that problem with the Mark III. I got it, set it in, got it fixed. I took about 10 photos. I don't know if I refocused in between photos or just blasted a bunch off. All the ones in this particular scenario are soft like this. Like, the focus just missed. This is what it looked like before I got my camera fixed.
Right.
And then dropped it on the metal floor. But right. Everything else was in focus after that. And so after the drop incident, so I'd be shooting around and things are in focus, and a number of the most of the photos from the session are in focus, but some of them aren't. And this, I don't know what the situation here is. So if you go back and like look at the photo I posted, I have gone and done a little extra sharpening just to sort of save it, which at this size, like when you see it on Instagram, it's acceptable.
Right.
If you were to see it, anything printed, anything above a 4x6, you're going to notice it's soft and sharpened and it doesn't look good. I'm not happy.
You're going to notice it. I don't think anyone else is
going to.
You're looking for it.
No, I'm not happy. I'm definitely not happy. My confidence is shaken.
Uh-oh.
You know, like I'm like, oh no, like did I mess this up? Like, where is the focus? Like, you can see some stuff, like the wheat's in focus, you know? So did I miss? Because I shot this specifically at like an f2.8 to kill that depth, you know, have that depth of field what it is.
Mm-hmm.
So there's part of that, but I should still get a sharp eye. Now, the other shots I shot some pictures of my wife and my son and after this as well, and they're in focus.
Okay.
So I'm just nervous. I don't want to go down this path of not being able to rely on that camera 100% of the time.
Gotcha.
So I have to do more work and figure out if this was me or the camera.
Okay.
Always the camera.
We're gonna be waiting on pins and needles for that answer.
Never take responsibility, man. It's always somebody else's fault.
That's right. Yeah.
All right. That brings us to this week's topic. It's why this week's topic is why pencils have erasers, Adam.
Okay.
That is the topic.
Tell me why.
Mistakes.
They happen.
They do happen. Of course they do. But what happens next is entirely up to you. So here's my advice to you.
That's bold. Mistakes. That's really bold. Okay, go ahead.
Are you writing this down? Because I don't. Yeah.
No, just all the t-shirt slogans are running through my head.
Oh. Yeah, well, no, I mean, old Blue Eyes said it best.
Okay.
New York, New York or something. I forget what I'm not a huge Sinatra fan, but embrace your mistakes. That's what I'm getting at.
Okay.
Embrace them. Expect them. See them coming, but don't. I think embrace was the word. I could just stop there. It's really tough to do. Embracing your mistakes is really tough. I don't like it. Do you like it?
No, and I kind of beat myself up over things like that all the time.
Case in point, I posted. I'm actually going to take a better photo. This was just a snapshot before the show with my iPhone. But I'll probably do a better shot of the end tables. I told you I finished those end tables. I built some end tables to match the coffee table blanket chest I had made a couple weeks ago for our living room. So my wife had expressed interest in some end tables, and she didn't really say much besides, oh, yeah, we should get some end tables now. Like, oh, okay, I'll whip those up.
Mm-hmm.
So I did. I went and built some of those to match. Which in this photo you can't really see, but like the all the other three sides have that kind of same inlay as the match the coffee table. But you'll see when I shoot the real photos for the show. Point being, looking at these two matching tables, what do you see?
The grain on the bottom panel is in two different directions.
Yeah. So the top, it's hard to see in the one because there's the light coming in, blowing it out. The top panels both run the same way. They both run sideways.
Right.
And both bottoms were supposed to run sideways, same as the top.
Mm-hmm.
somehow during the process, I don't know what happened when I was fitting them, because actually it turns out it's not as easy to fit. Like, those panels fit inside that the bottom. They're not overlapping at all, which on paper is great until you start doing it. And you're like, oh no, that's not fun. But somehow in that process of me fitting them, they got spun around and one got cut the wrong way. And I didn't notice until after I had stained it and all that and had put it in. Ouch.
This is the kind of thing that, again, I think that certain personalities, and you and I, you know, probably share this kind of flaw, would like really, really kind of harp on. Whereas if you're not placing them, I'm guessing they're not going to, in your house, be positioned like they are in the photo, which is directly side by side.
What if they were and we just kept tripping over them?
But the reality of it is, if you just saw
that's one... That's not feng shui, Atridge.
If you saw one at a time, you would never notice this.
Well, no, but the bottom doesn't match the top, though. Like
yeah, they run... but you're not ever going to be looking at that. Like, that's just not going to be what you're going to look... Now, you'll never stop looking at it, because you know, but
well,
nobody
here's the good
else,
news. The good news is I screwed them in, and they were not glued in. They're only screwed in.
Okay,
so
that's good.
I can and will, next week, I will back those screws out of the bottom of the wrong one. And I have to cut. I can't spin it. Like I noticed this while I was installing it. I noticed that it was wrong. But I knew, okay, if I don't glue it, I know I can back it out and build and make a new one. Now the bottom is square. Almost. It's actually in real life when it all got put together, it's about 3 millimeters off of square. One side's about 3 mils longer than the other.
Right.
And so I can't spin it around. If I could spin it around. Take about three, like half a saw, not even, like a quarter of a saw width off of one side, it would fit in, but you're going to see like a 3 mil gap on the other side. And I didn't.
Here's my advice to you.
Yeah.
Don't change it.
Yeah.
Let this be a sort of conversation piece, and let's test if anybody ever, outside of anyone listening to this podcast, recognizes or comments. You're allowed to make the change for the first person who actually notices this flaw.
Okay, the problem with that logic is everyone will notice because they'll all ask my wife, hey, why did Alan kill himself? And she'll be forced to tell them, well, it's see that over there. That's why.
Okay. All right. Well, we don't want that, or I don't want that.
Some people probably wouldn't mind.
Half of our listeners, I'm sure, at this point.
Yeah. Yeah. So there's that. So no, next week, I'm kind of busy this weekend. So I have more wood. I will replace it. But it's a lesson I learned. The other lesson I learned is, hey, you're not good at making drawers. Don't make the fancy drawers. Make the ones with the false fronts, because you're not good at it. I got cocky and thought I can just make real fitted drawers. Like, having the drawers fit in like that and function, it turns out it's really, really, really tricky.
Okay.
And so one of them is okay, and the other one is a gong show. And so I'm actually going to have to rebuild the drawers as well. But again,
good.
This is the point. This is the point. I knew this going in. The point is, I'm very new to woodwork, and so I'm begrudgingly accepting, not even begrudgingly, I'm embracing my mistakes and going, okay, good. I don't hesitate to do things that are beyond my skill level, because I know I'll make mistakes and I will learn from those mistakes.
You're what they like to call in the fifth grade, a noob.
Is that what they call them?
Yeah, you're a noob.
Okay.
Or newbie.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, there's that. But see, here's the other thing. Here's the other thing, too, is my... When it comes
not
to
a,
mistakes...
Not a nerd. A noob.
Yeah, no, we can't... I thought, can we even assign names to anybody?
Yeah, well, now? You're talking, I would just be in the background going, noob.
No, you wouldn't. You wouldn't be judging or anything. You have to just be like, no. Like, that's... His name is Connor, and that's what he does.
Noob. Noob. Noob.
Connor.
Noob.
Connor.
Noob.
Dylan. Dylan. Slamhammer. Slamhammer. That's his name. That's the, the tough kid that you name your kid so that people like him. No, so when it comes to making mistakes, though, and the last little piece about woodworking, they'll get back to making photo mistakes. I liken it to flying in an airplane, like a jet. Like if you're not in the front of the plane, like you're talking about in the what do you call it?
The floatplane.
I mean, like, I mean, I told you I had an airplane analogy lined up. And I've always thought about it. I don't know how you feel about actual like intercontinental flying. I've done it many, many times, obviously in the last whatever 15 years because of this, but, I recognize that in flying, there is a very, 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 very minute chance that there'll be an accident or, you know, a plane crash or something like that. It's I accept it, right? Now, I know it's statistically not going to happen. However, it does happen every now and then. And so my whole thinking is, I understand it. If it has to happen, please crash on takeoff.
Okay.
I don't want to have to sit in the plane for 10 hours and be almost there, and then we eat it. Like, gotcha. That is some terrible irony.
Yeah, I agree.
I thought this was more amusing than morbid, but apparently you're not taking it well. But the thing is, once I get down, like I get everything done, like I got the whole thing, you know, put together and sanded and painted and all the frame, like all the little molding put on and the holes filled and the drawers installed. And then like the last step is like to put the top, screw the tops on. That's when you don't want to have a blowout and just like this, you know, tear a chunk off or drop it, drop your table or something while you're working on it. When those mistakes happen at that point, you've done all that work. It is dispiriting.
Mm-hmm. I can imagine. Yeah.
Okay. So in terms of photo mistakes, Wayne Gretzky, you've heard of him.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this is not the kind of shots he was talking about, but it applies. He said you miss 100% of the shots you don't take.
That's deep too, yeah.
No, it's not. It is not deep by me. It's great. That's why they called him the Wayner.
Mm-hmm.
And he's 100% right. So I know a lot of times, like even in myself, like I'll hesitate to do something to be like, well, no, I like to do things 100% and be perfect, and I don't know how to do this. So, you know, it's difficult to get going. A while back, I just said, you know what? Knock it off. Just like go do it. Don't be afraid to fail. Those mistakes you make are that's what's going to pave your path to being excellent.
Okay.
So that's how I feel about photography as well.
I agree.
What are some of the more frequent mistakes that you made early on? Can you remember that? I mean, you're obviously, you know, perfection on ice, but
not attending to my background, and so having some weird distracting elements, that was definitely a common mm-hmm. misstep. So I still make those mistakes. I mean, even when I kind of, you know, look and scope it out, still oftentimes I think, why didn't I notice that? How did I not see that? So that's a common one, for sure. Or, you give one and I'll think about another. I'm sure there's many more that I still tend to make.
I was having trouble thinking about like an actual mistake. Like a full-on mistake that I made early on. I have one that I've made recently, but I think early on when I was sort of learning flash, like learning off-camera flash, it wouldn't be a mistake necessarily, but it would just be I don't know how to describe it. I guess getting too complicated with the flash and trying to make everything look like a million-dollar lighting setup instead of trying to make a nice photo.
Right, yeah.
So that'd be early on. But a recent, like, one mistake I made up until about probably 6 months ago was with the X100, which has a built-in ND filter that I had mapped. I had mapped it to on the front of the camera, there's a button that you can map anything to. I had mapped the ND filter on to that button. So you could quickly, without going into the menu, you could turn it on or off really quickly. And so even though I don't use the ND filter that often, it comes up, but it's not crazy often. I would occasionally, I'd put it on and then forget to turn it off because it was so easy to turn right. on. And I'd go through and then go shoot a bunch of shots and be thinking, and having so many elements going on, like having to deal with the subject of the photo and the background, like you say, and maybe balancing the ambient light with some added flash. And I would go through and not really notice that all of a sudden I'm shooting at, you know, 1/20th of a second shutter speed. And only large in part because of having the ND filter on when I didn't need it.
Right. And along that those same lines, and this is an early mistake that I was making and still I continue to make it even as much as I keep sort of, you know, telling myself that stop doing that, is the, you know, the servo mode. Like I oftentimes I'm shooting, you know, action stuff where I want focus as the kids are running around or playing a sport. And then the next time I go out to shoot, you know, a quick portrait of somebody and it's still on servo mode, but I don't often notice. And right. And then kind of have these weird kind of wondering like why am I just missing, especially, you know, focusing and recomposing and whatnot. That's a definite you know, mistake that I just continue to never learn from.
That's the next question. Was like, do you have any mistakes that you make again and again? Well, that's one. And hopefully, like ideally, you'll make a few. You'll make mistakes, but ideally, you'll just learn from them and go, oh, okay. Like the grain on this table. I can do both. I will learn from it, but I will also fix it. But I will right. also not make that mistake again. And the worst part was I was actually paying attention to the grain. I'm getting very specific about those little details, and I still made that mistake. And so I was mm-hmm. like, all right, well, you know, so ist das Leben, move on. You'll be all right, and you can fix it. If it was glued in, I would have been really upset.
Right.
Because it turns out, I thought I would just throw these tables together. Oh, no. This was way more work than I thought it would be. Like, surprising amount of work to put these together. Like it took almost 2 weeks, a week and a half. Took a week and a half with a couple of days off because of the kids in the school and all that stuff. But yeah, so a little disheartening. One mistake I do remember making, I've not made again really, is this is a video mistake. I remember I was working on a movie, like a behind the scenes making of a movie kind of thing for the DVD. And they're getting ready to do this big effects shot. They're doing a pickup shot. They'd screwed up a shot at night. We'd been out in the forest, out in what's the lake out there in Maple Ridge? Bunsen Lake, maybe?
Sure.
I think we're out there. I forget where it was. It was in and around there, way out that way, at night, out in the forest. And they're shooting this car shot, and they just forgot to get a shot. They forgot to get an insert shot of the speedometer going 80 miles an hour or whatever it was.
Okay.
And so they had to pick it up. Well, the only time they could pick it up, it was, you know, noon on a Tuesday. Well, there's no way that's going to match. And so they had set up a big tent, like a big black tent to put the car in, and needed to get the speedometer, you know, a shot of night. So they put it in the tent, lit it up inside as if it was nighttime, and put the, you know, car lights on to get the speedometer, but they had to be going 80 miles an hour. So in the tent, they jacked up the back end and basically let her rip. Just got her up to 88 miles an hour in a DeLorean. No, and then basically in the tent, and then they got that 1 5-second shot. And it took them forever to set up. Well, I got the director there with all this in the background. I got the whole setup in the background. I got him talking to the camera and explaining everything I explained to you and probably 10 more things.
Mm-hmm.
This intricate detail about this cool thing they're going to do for basically like a 3-second insert shot.
Right.
As soon as he's done, I looked down and went, oh, I did not hit record. He was just saying, like, they're calling him onto the set. He just for 10 minutes went off of this soliloquy, and I was like, oh no, I do not have this. And I don't want to tell him. I don't want to. And basically, I had to like I should have owned up to it. I should have said, you know what? I just stubbed my toe on this one. But I was like, oh yeah, there's something wrong in the background. Let's do it again. And he's like, oh, I got 10 seconds. And so he just basically gave me the 10 second version, and that was that. And I thought, I am not gonna make that mistake again.
Right.
Which I in that regard, I have not. And all the things I've shot, we're doing like, you know, on the flies or whatever it is, I've always made sure I'm recording. But I have recorded my, you know, a good 3.5-4 minutes on my feet sometimes.
Yeah.
Where you hit the button and don't realize that you're rolling on nothing.
But you can cut that. Yeah.
That you can cut. You can't go back in time and tell them to tell that tent story again.
Yeah.
So that's a mistake I won't make again. But what's important, especially when you're learning something, and this is where it is with me with the woodworking stuff, very, very humbling. Do not be afraid of mistakes. Get out there and do it. You're better off to do it and make those mistakes and then make something else. Like, you will learn from all those little things and you will apply them next time. That's the key here.
Okay.
The other part of that is do not be afraid to take criticism. This seems to be a lost thing nowadays, like where people, you know, I think you're not the boss of me is the new phrase.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas if somebody, do with a grain of salt, like don't just take criticism like on Twitter where like, yeah, you stink, you know, like whatever Twitter's all about now. I don't think it's that, but you get the idea. Obviously, you want to get criticism from people who have something to offer and not just tear you down. Criticism is often used, can be used to build you up, which is very important. So be open to it. Don't necessarily just take it, but take what you can from it and move on. The rest of that is my tip for you, Adam, and you know, this is something you know.
Mm-hmm.
Learn fast.
Okay.
Make your mistakes quickly and don't do them again. I tell this to my kids all the time. I don't care that he's six. Like, I'll tell him, hey, look, learn faster. Like, you just did that twice in a row with the same result. Learn faster.
Right.
Yeah. So he'll tell his shrink about that in 10 years. Remember your mistakes. And here's the last one. Here's the last little tip for you before we wrap this up.
Okay.
The best advice I can give you, I'll give my kids, I'll give everybody, internalize. Any mistakes that were made were your fault.
Mm-hmm.
Any of them.
I take this one to heart, and I try to model it for my children as well about owning up to your mistakes. It's good. It's a good thing to do.
Yeah. Not even, like, here's the thing, is not even just your mistakes. Anything that affects you, anything that negatively affects you, don't just own up to that. Embrace that too. You know,
okay.
You're late. You're late for practice because, you know, Bob was late picking you up. Well, you decided to leave it up to Bob.
Mm-hmm.
So it's on you. You're late because of you. You're not late because of Bob. When you make mistakes in photography or whatever it is, internalize everything. Go, okay, great. Okay, the model wasn't smiling. My son wasn't smiling in the photo. What can I do to fix that? I can fix that.
Okay. I like it.
Yeah, toot jokes. That's how you fix that. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, challenge for next week is our monthly challenge, and that is Snapshot. Hashtag that, Two Hosers Monthly Challenge. Hashtag Hey Hosers on the Instagram. Even better, do both of those and tag us at Two Hosers, and we'll be sure to talk about that next week. Adam, where can people go to find your stuff?
They can find me at adamschwartz.ca, and they can also, again, do what they've been doing since I mentioned it last time, is find me on LinkedIn and send me a message and sort of...
Are you blowing up on LinkedIn?
Join the network. I wouldn't say blowing up, but I think since the last week, at least 10 listeners have kind of reached out and become part of my growing network. So keep nice. Doing it. Yeah, I like that.
And your Tinder profile, give that out now too.
Yeah, okay, yeah. Hunk Adam, whatever Tinder profile.
I would assume you wouldn't go with Adam. Is.
Yeah. No, Hunky Adam at profile Tinder.
.Tinder. Okay, I'll check that out. We'll put a link in the show notes.
Okay.
People can check that out. All right, you can find me at alannatridge.com. The two of us at twohosers.com, where you can go to find all the links, photos, everything we just talked about. And that's it. Until next week, get out there and make better photos.